You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Joining me on the telephone, Wendy Allison, Director of Know Your Stuff New Zealand. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Mikey?
Good, thanks. Happy New Year to you. And I know that you've been busy over the last couple of weeks. Because tis the season to get wasted, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And New Zealanders love to do that, and you're trying to help them do that, at least let them know what it is that they're doing to themselves so they can make a conscious decision to do it safely. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So tell us about what you guys do.
Well, what we do is essentially provide drug-related harm reduction services at festivals and events, and that includes pill testing, which involves somebody can, if they're intending to take an illicit substance, they can bring us a sample and we will test it for them and tell them what's in it.
People still into pills?
It seems so, yes.
It would seem so. I mean, doesn't the obvious naysayer is going to say they're going to say nay, aren't they? The naysayer, but they're going to say, oh, this just promotes drug use. What are you talking about? You know.
Well, my response to that would be, for a start, there are a lot of explicitly anti-drug campaigns out there that have made absolutely zero difference to people's drug use. The second thing I would say is that we are actually agnostic about drug use. We don't care what people should do. We care what people do, and what people do is take drugs. And what we're finding is that when we tell people what's in their drugs, more than half of them who don't have what they think they have then say they're not going to take them. So I would say to those people that effectively we're discouraging people from using drugs.
When drug testing at events started, must have been like 15, 20 years ago almost, eh?
Yeah. Well, quite a while.
Has it changed since then?
It certainly has. The technology has got a lot better, and what we're able to do now is actually take a little field spectrometer with us.
Ooh, they're cool!
It is a very, very groovy little device. Like, back in the day, these things filled up a whole room and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're still very expensive, but they're now small enough so we can actually take one with us to events and run it off solar power, so we're actually able to identify a lot more stuff.
So what does it actually do?
Lay people's language, it fires...
That's us, lay people FM. Yep.
Yeah, likewise. It fires a laser through the molecule, and basically it records the light absorption of the molecule, and each molecule has an individual light absorption pattern. They call that a spectrum, and then it runs...
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It runs that against a database of known substances, and that's how we get our hits of what, you know, MDMA or whatever.
So you're defining what something is in somebody's, say, pill or powder or whatever they've got,
yes,
down to the molecule, is that right?
Yes, and we can
identify
up to five different ingredients in a sample, which means that we're now picking up adulteration, which we could never do with reagents.
Last year, 2017 was a terrible year for New Zealanders taking drugs, not knowing what they were, and with some disastrous and on more than a handful of occasions fatal results. Is that part of the reason people are getting their drugs tested, because but they don't know what they're buying from their good local drug dealer?
I think so, yes. I mean, it's always been the case that you can't tell by looking, but in the last 10 years or so, so many new substances have come into the market, and people just don't know what these things can do or what they are. And there's been hospitalizations and deaths all over the place, not so many in New Zealand, but significantly overseas. And people are becoming more aware of this. So, and the fact is, drug users are not idiots like everyone likes to think they are. If you give them a chance to make sensible decisions, they will. They do want to reduce the risk, and so they're coming to us.
Yeah, I mean, a drug user is no more sensible or less sensible than an alcohol user, or, you know.
Well, alcohol is a drug.
You don't need to test for that, though, do you?
Users,
breathe on me. Ugh.
And alcohol comes with quality control and labeling, so you know what you're getting and how much, and it's a lot easier to not die when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, because people are dying, aren't they? People are dying because of products that they're being sold as one thing, and it turns out it's not that thing, not that product that they thought they're buying. And people are dying. That's the end of their life. It finishes. They die.
They are, and the thing is that the things that people are dying of, we are finding in pills in New Zealand. So it is well worth knowing what you're about to stick in your mouth, because it very well could kill you.
Also, you should know that this is there's an article you had that I read online just a couple of days ago, where you're saying that also the strength of and the quality has noticeably improved. Is that right word to use? Not improved, but I mean, there were some pills that people thought were MDMA. They were actually three times the usual dosage of MDMA. So it wasn't just a matter of it being adulterated with something else. It was the fact that it was really strong, and people, that can freak people out.
That's right. I mean, we cannot measure purity. The tech we have can't do that. But what we can do is, if we see a particularly heavy pill and the content analysis says it's mostly MDMA, then we can make an educated guess that that's got more than your average dose in it. And that is just as dangerous, if you don't know,
absolutely,
as taking something completely different, you know.
Have you found that people are reluctant to walk into your tent and with whatever narcotics they have, their illegal narcotics, and sort of go, hey, I've got some illegal narcotics, everyone. As I'm walking into this tent, you know, is that an issue? I mean, is that something that you just have to, you get by that, don't you, by not sort of advertising where you're going to be?
Yeah, we can't say where we're going to be, which keeps it a little bit discreet, and people are somewhat nervous. But as time goes by and they realise that other people have come to see us and nobody's been busted, we don't take any information, everything is anonymous, people are encouraged. There's a trust relationship building up there, and more people are coming to see us. But yeah, mostly they sidle in quietly and don't wave their drugs around.
What's the reason for not saying that you'll be somewhere, like, you know, say at an event?
Well, we're operating in a legal grey area where what we do is not explicitly legal or illegal, but Section 12 of the Misuse of Drugs Act makes criminals of the event organisers if they acknowledge they know people use drugs there,
right?
Because permitting a venue to be used for drug use is illegal. So if they get us in, that makes them criminals. And we don't want to put the organisers in the position of being vulnerable to that, so we're very, very discreet about where we go, just to sort of try and reduce the risk to them.
Are you guys part of the New Zealand Drug Foundation? Are you government, or are you just completely private?
We're an independent organisation. We operate in collaboration with the Drug Foundation. They've been great. They own the spectrometer, and they let us use it. But we are an independent organisation. We're almost entirely self-funded. We now have donations open on the website, but certainly we would be hoping for legal clarification of our position so that we can seek more funding.
Wow, it's I mean,
it's getting expensive.
Yeah, so I mean, how many people do you guys have on board from that know your stuff?
At the moment, there's about 24 volunteers.
Do you need more? Do you need more people to get involved? Or
I think as time goes by, we will need more and more people, because the demand is just increasing all of the time, and you can't have the same people going to every single event, because they just burn out.
Right. Yeah, sure. Because I'm sure once the testing's over, you're allowed to go out and have a boogie yourself, aren't you, surely?
Oh, yeah. We don't make people work like slaves for the whole event. That would be unfair.
Couple of events you've done, what are some of the things that you have discovered in people's drugs, in their party drugs they've got, that they weren't expecting? Just some of the examples, the nasties.
Well, there's the funny ones, like, you know, caffeine, and creatine's always a favourite, and sugar. But some of the nasties we've been finding are particularly the cathinone family. Now, most people have heard of them as bath salts.
Is that what bath salts are?
Yeah, they're not the thing you stick in your bath. I would strongly advise against doing that with these things. But it's a fascinating...
I think don't stick them in anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. No? It's a family of drugs that's been designed to mimic the effects of MDMA, but they don't do a very good job of it. And they are also toxic in much lower quantities than MDMA. So you have this situation where people will take the stuff thinking it's MDMA. It doesn't feel like MDMA. They think they've got a dub. They take another, and suddenly they get in trouble.
Right.
And we found six different cathinones so far this year.
Wow.
They are all different, and that's another problem, because even if you know you've got one, you don't know which one, so you don't know how to mitigate the risks.
Was I correct in reading that you were also finding the presence of a substance which is as yet unidentified?
Yes, that is correct. We know it's a cathinone, and we've seen it a few times. I think we've seen it 8 or 9 times now. We know it's a cathinone because we sent the spectrum to our colleagues, the Loop in the UK, and their chemists ran it, and they said, yes, it's a cathinone. No, it's not in our database. Wow. We can't give you a name for it, so we just call it the unknown cathinone. Right. Tell anybody anything useful about that?
No. Yeah, but apart from that, it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah, don't take it because this could kill you.
Hey, hey, Wendy, I think it's really important what you guys do, and if people want to know a little bit more about it, or what's some advice you can give to people who have made the conscious decision to choose to take drugs at an event?
Okay, if you get the opportunity, have your stuff tested before you ingest it. If you choose to take it anyway without testing, the best approach is extreme caution. Take only a fraction and wait at least an hour to see what happens before taking any more. And the most important thing to remember is every single pill out there is unknown content and unknown dose. You really don't know what's in it. So I advise caution with everything.
Hey, Wendy, thanks. Great to talk to you. Wendy Ellison is the director of Know Your Stuff New Zealand, and we should probably speak to you again some stage, unless everyone gets off the drugs straight away.
Just quickly before you go, because you guys do operate in a little bit of a legal grey area, is there any way that people can donate to help pay for your operating costs?
We have a donate button on our website, knowyourstuff.nz. You can go there and have a look at the site. All our results from last year are up there. Have a nosy, and if you feel like it, yes, flick us $5 or whatever. It really helps.
Or 500.
Yeah, 500 would be awesome.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for talking to us, Wendy. Cheers.
No worries. Thank you.
Eight minutes to 9 o'clock. Here's Pulp. Sorted for Ease and Whiz on BFM.
Somewhere in a field in Hampshire, all right.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.